Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Good afternoon, Liberty. Hello. It's good to be up here.
Woohoo!
Handsome devils. We are at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House as we shine our city spotlight today on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri. 40 years older than Kansas City, Missouri, I learned during my research earlier today.
Look at you doing research.
40 years older than Kansas City, Missouri. Liberty
is. How about that? Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be here till 6 o'clock this afternoon as we shine our city spotlight. Kara Marks are back at the radio station.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello, Kara.
Hi, guys. Have you seen the big picture?
Wait. Before we get started, Dana looks at me right before we get started, and she says, Elton John better be the artist of the day.
Is
he in town tonight?
I have heard a rumor that Sir Elton John is here.
Like he's playing at the Sprint Center
tonight? If you're listening,
tonight?
I love you, and I've seen you 5 times, and I love you.
Why is he here?
Well, I assume he's, I'm not going to say the name of the hotel, but he's here.
Yeah, it's the Yellow Brick Road Tour tonight.
Oh, so he's playing at the Sprint Center tonight.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
Oh, I thought you were joking. Yes, he's... It's only
it's
the
not
biggest
Kiss.
Show. The city is shutting down for this show. How do you not know he's not here tonight? Yes, he's here tonight.
Okay. Are you going?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going. You are going.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you pay for tickets?
That is proprietary information. I'm not sharing that with you.
Oh,
was
no.
it more than $200?
That is proprietary.
How many tickets did you get?
My son, who is 18 years old, wants to go see Elton John,
yep.
and darn it, we're doing it.
Okay.
He's driving back from KU.
That'll be fun.
I cannot wait. Well,
mommy.
I don't know who I'm more excited to see, Elton John or my own kid.
Mommy's son date night. That'll
yes,
be exciting.
That's what I wanted for Valentine's Day.
Okay. Where are you in the Sprint Center?
So you know I like those side seats, the ones the first section side, where we were for Paul McCartney.
Lower bowl to
yes,
the left. Yes.
Correct. Yes, because I believe his piano's on the left. It has been historically.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. So anyone listening, if you are still in the market for tickets, I had a broker tell me, wait until after about 3 o'clock today. That's when the prices start going down.
Which you did not.
Now, I'm a bird in the hand kind of girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much did we pay for our tickets?
You can find them for around $500, six. You can find for two.
You're
for
lying.
Two.
No, you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
I've known you forever.
I am not lying.
I have known you. I know when you're like my
lying.
Child. When your child lies, you know your child is lying. Look me dead in the eye. Hang on. I'm not done talking.
Yes.
I want you to look me dead in the eye.
Why do you care what I spend on concert tickets?
Because it's outrageous what people are charging these days.
Well, it's not if you look at what you could have spent to be down there. Those tickets down front, do you even want to guess?
I could have spent $1 million for my house, and I didn't.
Oh, my goodness. Some of the seats are absolutely outrageous.
Look at me in the eyeballs.
Yes.
Did you pay, and I'll know if you're lying.
Okay.
I'm about to go meet the parents on you right now. Give me your wrist.
Okay, give me my wrist. Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, I'm good.
Did you pay more than $200 for each ticket?
Yes.
Did you pay more than $250 for each ticket?
No.
Dana?
Are you including taxes and fees?
Dana.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you pay more than $300 per ticket?
I did not pay more than $300 a ticket.
$275.
Yeah, probably after taxes and fees, yes. That's a great deal to be down there. Are you kidding me? Some of those tickets right now are $1,000, $3,000, $7,000.
That's $100 an hour.
Oh, he'll play longer than that, and it will be worth every single minute. Do you remember, what is the one show you never went to see that you look back and you kick yourself that you never saw?
Ooh, good question.
Kara, what's yours?
I don't know. I mean, it would have to be the concert of my life to spend more than $100 on tickets.
I never saw Prince.
Oh, I did many times.
You did, and I never saw Johnny Cash. And those are the two. And everyone has one or two where you're like, why didn't I just go to the show? Go to the show.
One of them, I had tickets. It was for Merle Haggard, but he died the day before the show.
Well, that was rude.
I know it's rude. He died the day before the show, and so I just gave my ticket to Rod because Rod and I were going to go see Merle Haggard. It was February 14th, actually, like 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it was, and Merle Haggard died the day before the show, so I just gave Rod the other ticket because I didn't know who was going to perform.
Someone just
didn't care.
Front row seats are $3,000. I have a feeling those are going to go down closer to showtime because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
For $3,000, I should be able to have dinner with him on his piano.
For $3,000, you can send your kid to college.
For?
A month.
A month. Say, where do you think you're sending Sarah? Oh, God.
The name wouldn't mean a thing to you. I wish I had gone to see, but my mom wouldn't let me because of the Libya missile crisis, Ronnie James Dio in 1986. But it doesn't matter to you.
You didn't get to go because of the Libyan missile crisis? Now, that is an excuse to not see a show.
Yeah. They were warning us not to go out in public.
Okay.
So my mom, I had tickets to go see Ronnie James Dio. I never got to see him, and she wouldn't let me go to the show because of the Libyan crisis. You know, honest to God, and I can't stand his music, his solo music. Ringo Starr was at Starlight Theater last summer, and I should have gone to see him just because of who he is, and I didn't go.
Okay. I think you should go to the show. You know, that's my new thing. As I'm going into age 45, I firmly believe you can't take it with you. If you want to do it, do it within reason. Not paying $8,000 to go sit down front, but
you paid $275.
If you want to go, go.
All right.
You should go.
To Elton John?
Yeah.
No, I got the kids tonight.
Oh. I want to go.
You should go, Sam.
Get a pay raise.
Yeah, right? That's like a week and a half.
All right, Sam, you're the younger set. Who have you wanted to see and you haven't been able to see it?
Honestly, Elton John, in all reality. That's probably the
really?
One. I really wanted to see Neil Diamond. I got to see him. I really wanted to see Billy Joel. I got to see him.
Ugh.
Maybe Willie Nelson. I don't know.
Yeah, he's and you know what? You should see Willie Nelson, and sooner rather than later. Someone just wrote in, you're forgetting Michael Jackson. Absolutely. Back in the late 80s, my mother got to go to that show. He came to, was it Sandstone? It was in the
80s. I don't recall.
Oh, my goodness. It was definitely in Kansas City. He came here.
I know the Victory Tour started in Kansas City in 84.
Yeah, and she went, and it was at the height of his, you know, diamond-gloved fame.
Wouldn't it have been at Arrowhead?
Probably. I don't remember.
Not Sandstone.
I just remember her coming in and telling me she was going and bursting into tears because I thought she was coming in to tell me we were going. And she's like, I have some exciting news. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, I'm going to Michael Jackson. And so I think.
Who'd she go with?
Some girlfriends that had an extra ticket.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
I was probably. How old were we, Scott? 10? I mean, she wasn't taking me to.
I wasn't, but you probably were, yeah.
And then the last one. You are completely forgetting Tom Petty. A lot of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
I've been to hundreds of concerts. I never once saw Tom Petty. I would have loved to have seen Tom Petty. And Melissa Etheridge. I missed that show just recently. And I think she's fantastic. You know why? Because we're both from Leavenworth. Anyway. What do you want to talk about today?
Eventually.
We're definitely talking about the Wichita Walmart bathroom guy. Have you heard this story?
It's the funniest story of the day.
Oh, my God.
I want him to do an interview. Have they outed him yet, Kara?
Not that
do
I've
we
seen.
Know? Okay.
He's my hero.
That's the interview of the decade. If you're in Wichita, it isn't BTK's daughter.
No.
It's the Home Depot crapper.
Yes.
We will talk about
y'all
that.
Better get out of here. I'm about to set off a bomb in here.
No, I'm going to blow it up, he said.
I'm going to blow it up.
to blow it up. You can't say that. You really can't say it at an airport.
He had the diarrhea.
That's blow it out, not blow it up.
I just think it's so funny.
You guys are disgusting.
Y'all better get out of here because I'm about to blow it up.
You need to choose another phrase, sir. Choose another phrase. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. Yes, we will talk about that today. We are going to circle back around.
Fire turd.
Talk about the school lunch issue that one school district's having. I think a lot of districts are having.
Is this the Shawnee Mission school district thing?
Yes, it breaks my
heart. It's in the stack here.
We are going to talk about it. I know Jamie and Wickett touched on it. We will get to that. We have a whole lot of good stuff today.
We are at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House in Liberty, just off 291 Highway. It'd be an honor and a privilege as we shine our city spotlight on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri. If you would join us, again, we're at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House in Liberty. Dana Wright, Scott Parks on KMBZ. Hey, when you're looking for a new car, you want three things. You want comfort, you want safety, and you want affordability. You get all three when you shop at a Olathe Kia and a Olathe Subaru. I'm driving the Subaru Outback. I just got that the other day. I had been driving the Kia Sportage, and I love both cars. They're fantastic. Olathe Subaru and Olathe Kia both have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and that, my friends, is a rating well-earned. If it's a Kia you like, man, they've made improvements over the last few years, and they come with a lifetime warranty. If it's gadgets and options you like, great. Kia has more for the money, more bang for your buck. Heated and cooled seats, panoramic sunroof, heated steering wheel, Apple CarPlay. Everybody likes that now. When it comes to safety, Kia and Subaru are some of the safest around. In fact, according to Forbes, Kia and Subaru took all four categories in the small car competition. Right now at Olathe Subaru, you can buy or lease with $0 down payment. Online at olathesubaru.com and olathekia.com. See for yourself, and then we'll see you at Olathe Kia and Olathe Subaru.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Hey, we're at Conrad's in Liberty, right off 291 Highway. Be an honor and a privilege if you would spend the afternoon with us as we shine our city spotlight on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri.
So there is a super interesting court case winding through the system right now over the death of a living organ donor. Living at the time, died on the operating table. And I want to talk about this today, and here's why, Scott. You've always said, when I've asked, would you ever donate something to someone in your family who needs it?
While I'm still alive?
While you are still alive. You can be a living organ donor for liver. If someone needed it, would you do it? And ethicists will tell you it's an interesting conversation to have because doctors are supposed to do no harm. Well, going into a perfectly healthy Scott Parks and pulling out a liver that works perfectly well for no other reason than altruistic reasons to give to someone else is going to do you harm. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, maybe. Okay.
You know, it's certainly not going to feel good.
No, but sometimes you have to do that for somebody else to heal. And I don't equate that with the Hippocratic Oath or anything like that.
Okay. So this case actually happened way back in 2010, and it just now went to trial this week. The man's name who died is Paul Hawks. He underwent surgery. He did not need surgery. He was healthy. There was nothing wrong with Paul Hawks. He did it so he could donate most of his liver to a sick brother-in-law.
Which you can do.
You can do.
You can donate part of your liver because it doesn't regenerate, but you can survive with less than a full liver. Yes.
Correct. Unless you need it later and then, right. So he decides, God love him, that he is going to donate to his brother-in-law. They go into the surgery. Paul Hawks dies on the table. And here is why there's a lawsuit. Because you might be saying, look, there's risk in every surgery.
There is.
You could go in to have your adenoids removed and die on the table.
Hell,
I get that.
I go in for a colonoscopy and they remind you there is a chance
that you could be the one in a million.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's the issue. The brother-in-law that needed this liver, had cancer in the liver, and it was stage 3.
The one who was donating or the one who needed the donation?
The one who needed the donation.
He had stage 3 liver cancer, okay?
He was dead within a year. Stage 3 liver cancer.
So wait, let me...
So now 2 men are dead.
So the donator...
Yes?
...died on the table for the extraction of the donation.
Yes.
The brother-in-law for which he wanted to give the donation... had stage 3 liver cancer, and he died within a year.
So everyone is saying
they're both
now,
dead now.
They're both dead.
All right.
Everyone is saying with stage 3 liver cancer, with all due respect to this brother-in-law, why was he ever considered to be a candidate for an organ from anyone, let alone his brother-in-law?
Well, why not?
It said the, 5-year survival rate or... I think it was less than that, is less than 20%. He had advanced. It was bad. And I think, maybe this was a Hail Mary, maybe it wasn't, but it didn't work. Both men are dead, and now the hospital and everyone involved in that surgery is being sued.
Now, wait a minute. In fairness, let's say that your brother, knock on wood, this never happens, okay?
Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Your brother ends up with stage 3 or 4 liver cancer.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
He's going to die.
In all likelihood, that prognosis
but
is not good.
The doctors come to you and they say, Danny, you're a match. You can help your brother. He has a 20% chance of living for at least another 5 years.
Yeah. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, isn't it?
Now, that's a crapshoot. Because your brother has a 1 in 5 chance
that he will still
of
be
living
here in a
for
year.
Another 5 years.
Yes.
If you're willing to give up half of your liver, would you do it?
Again, it is a very awkward conversation to have to have. Would you let them go into you, do something extremely invasive? It does, to me, violate do no harm, even though the ends sometimes justify the means.
I don't know that
they
I agree
are
with
harming
that.
You. To help someone else. To help someone else.
No, I don't agree with that.
And
but
so
all
then
right.
The question becomes, at what point would you be comfortable saying, let's roll the dice? 50%? 70%? Because 20%, and this is what this lawsuit's about, had the family just been told, and again, difficult conversation, this liver is likely not going to prolong his life much.
See, I don't understand why, because if you remove the cancerous liver and replace it with obviously a fraction of a healthy liver, why wouldn't he have a better prognosis to survive? Now, granted, here are two dum-dums who went to KU journalism school trying to figure out medical stuff. I get it. But wouldn't you do it?
I think most people would like to say I would do it, but you are a father of 2 beautiful girls. I have children at home. You have to look at what is the risk versus what is the potential for a positive outcome.
But your brother is also the father of
yes,
2 wonderful
absolutely.
Children.
Absolutely.
And if you could afford him 5 more years on this planet with his children.
But the lawsuit isn't about would this work or could it work. The lawsuit contends this family did not understand that despite this transplant, this man was probably going to die. And he did.
And nobody did any tests on him before?
That I don't know. The doctors are saying, look, we told them there's a risk at every surgery.
Your liver's here's where the lawsuit is. Your liver is failing so badly that you need a new liver, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do any tests to find out if you have cancer.
I think, the family is saying they did not realize how advanced this cancer was. Now,
was it explained to them by the doctors?
The doctors are saying it was. The family is saying it absolutely was not, and that Paul Hawks was a cautious man.
Well, here's
he was
what,
a cautious
here,
man,
here's what
and
I
he
can,
never would have done this.
Here's what I can assure you, having relations with somebody in the medical profession, they document everything. So if the doctors did meet with this family and say, by the way, your son has stage 3 liver cancer. It will be documented, and they're going to lose this lawsuit. Are you sure you want to go through with it? We wouldn't advise it. We would not advise this. You know, he's pretty much gone. We're sorry about that. It's unfortunate. No, we still want to go through it. You know, even though there's a 20% chance of a 5-year survivor rate, we're going to go through
this. But listen to this from a medical ethicist. It is an act of charity. I would say it's one of the ultimate acts of charity. And one of the key parts is, does the donor have a realistic understanding of the benefit? What are the chances of saving another person's life? Do you honestly think he would have raised his hand and said, I will do this, had he known, number one, the recipient's going to be dead anyway within a year, and so are you?
We are at Conrad's in Liberty, Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House. We are shining our city spotlight on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri. It'd be an honor and a privilege to spend this Wednesday afternoon with you. Come on out. Enjoy a cold drink. Have something off the menu. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Kara Markser.
One person shot in the small town in Leavenworth County. More next.
All right, welcome back to Conrad's. We'll seek and destroy there. We are at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House, right off 291 Highway, as we shine our city spotlight on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri, this afternoon.
You know, the Boston Globe has done a ton of stories about this case, and donors or recipients dying on the table during these procedures, it is rare, Scott. But this case has changed the way hospitals and transplant centers view and discuss options with families, and I think it should. I think you have to be very transparent when you are taking an otherwise healthy person and taking something out of them for no other reason than altruistic reasons. And listen to this. This case, and this is from the Boston Globe, has exposed ethical quandaries involved in putting one person at risk to save another. Can a hospital, ethically, think about this,
guys. I just don't see it that way.
Oh, can a hospital fully protect both the recipient and the donor whose needs clearly diverge? It's not possible to equally protect them both. You are taking something that is perfectly fine out of a human being who is perfectly fine.
Okay.
For no other reason, and it is an altruistic reason, but for no other reason than to help
someone save another life. How do you explain blood donations, bone marrow transplants?
You're not going to die donating blood.
No, but what about a bone marrow transplant?
I'm on that registry.
I know.
It is.
That is not a painless experience. It's not like a little needle in your arm and you donate blood or plasma or whatever. Donating bone marrow, it's my understanding, I've never done it, is not the most,
sure.
It's not sitting outside in 75 degree weather sipping on a cold beer.
Here's one of the issues that should be changed, and I hope it has been changed, and if it's not, there are hospitals looking at it, okay? A lot of times these transplant teams, Scott, work with the hospital, right? They work to explain to both the patient and the donor, this is what we're going to do, this is the risk involved.
Usually the donor is dead.
Well, but follow me here. With a living donation,
okay,
everyone involved in that system, that very high for-profit system, is at the table. There is no independent third party to be there as an advocate for the donor. So listen to this. The United Network for Organ Sharing, now they want people to be transplanted, failed to adopt rules to protect living donors. Policies should have strengthened requirements that hospitals provide donors with their own advocate. An advocate, Scott, that is independent from the transplant program. Because think about it, the transplant program wants to do transplants.
Well, that's their job. Their job is to save
shouldn't
life.
Shouldn't there be an advocate for someone like Paul Hawks that has no stake in this game? They're not on the payroll of the hospital. They're not on the payroll of the transplant team who sits down and says, I am your advocate. We do this in court all the time. My job is to explain this to you. And I bet you the reason hospitals don't do that is because the number of people that would go through with the surgery if everything was explained would probably go down.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. First of all, the decision that this person made was clearly and obviously a very personal, familial decision. He wasn't donating to some stranger he heard about on the news.
It was his brother-in-law.
He was donating to a member of his family, his sister's husband, presumably.
Like your brother's wife.
Right.
She needs an organ.
Bye.
Let's be honest,
Scott. I'm kidding. You know I tease because I love.
Let's be honest. We would all sit down and say, please, can you find maybe another match?
What's wrong with your husband?
Your husband wasn't a match. In this case, his wife wasn't a match.
Why are you looking at me? We never got along that well anyway. I'm kidding. I kid because I love. Who's the advocate going to be? Here's all you need to know. You are donating part of one organ that you have. You don't have two. It's not a lung. It's not a kidney. It's not an eyeball. You have one liver. We're going to sedate you because we're going to have to cut into your body. When we extract half of this liver, you're going to have a half a liver. Okay? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. And if you don't realize that you could die when you're under sedation, then you're a moron. They tell you that every time. I know because I've been sedated many times. And quite frankly, I enjoy it. But every single time I've ever been sedated, they remind me there is a chance, albeit small, that you will die. Do you understand? Yes, I understand. Now let's go with that propofol. Come on.
I am going to be honest. I don't know that I could do it.
Yes, you could.
If it was my child, cut me open. I would do anything to save one of those kids. It gets trickier when you start talking about.
Well, I'll be honest. The circle of six is there for a reason. Those are the people I would give half of my war-torn liver to.
I think you would give me your liver.
I don't think I would.
I think you would.
You wouldn't give me yours. Dana.
How much do they need to take?
Dana, I've plowed through so much booze in my life that I now need a new liver because mine is failing. You're going to give me half your liver? I'm not going to be mad at you if you say no, because I'll be honest with you. With all love and respect that I have for you, I'm not giving you half of mine.
And it does change the relationship, does it not? Like,
sure,
remember that time I asked you for a liver and you said no? You know, it's not like asking, can I borrow your car? Like, I'm dying, but you just go ahead and enjoy your life, jerk.
I'd give you a kidney. As long as I can keep the other one. But like my mom has one kidney, right? If she got cancer in the other kidney and she was going to die, I would give her one of mine.
She only has one.
Do you not pay attention to
the
show?
Yeah, I did, but it doesn't make sense.
Remember she had the kidney cancer?
That's right. That was a long time ago. How's she doing?
She's doing great, thanks. Remember they took the picture of her heart?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It just happened to capture the top part of her kidney?
But if she needed another one, you would give it to her?
Yes, she gave me mine.
Okay. She's 83 years old.
She's 74.
Would you do it?
My mom's 83.
I'm asking.
She wouldn't ask.
Okay.
At that age. I don't know that she would ask at this age. But if my mom said, I need a kidney, will you donate it to me? I would do it. Because the only reason I got two is because she gave me both. Deborah, you hang tight. We'll get to you in just a moment. We're at Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House in Liberty. Be an honor and a privilege to spend this Wednesday afternoon with you as we shine our city spotlight on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri, here on Dana and Parks.
Relax your mind. Lay back and groove with your mind. You gotta feel that heat, and we can ride the boogie. Share that beat of love.
All right, gangsters. Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House in Liberty, right off 291. Just Google it. You'll find it. Be an honor and a privilege as we put our city spotlight on the beautiful city of Liberty, Missouri this afternoon. Let's get to the phones. She's been very patient. I'm assuming she's still there. Deborah in South Kansas City, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, Deborah. Go ahead.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I listen to you guys every day and feel like I know you. Listening to the two of you talk about your kids, trust me, Dana, you do this.
Oh, I do it for my child in a second.
Yeah, but having gone through it, I think I might do it for some other part of my body if I thought it'd make a difference to somebody.
When was your surgery?
93.
Okay.
Gave my kidney to my daughter.
Oh.
She had two transplants. Mine was the first. Mine lasted 3 to 5 years, somewhere in there. I lost her in 2004.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Even though she lost my kidney, and she kind of lost it because she was young, she was a teenager, she was not exactly super compliant with all the drugs you have to take, anti-injection drugs, diet so important, lifestyle is so important. And even though she lost my kidney, I'd do it again in a second.
And have you had any complications?
None.
None.
And she's been gone 14 years now, and it bought her another 11 years between my transplant and the donor that she got that had been a cadaver. So in that course of time, she grew up and she married. She had she took on three children in a marriage before she passed. I wouldn't trade that time for anything.
Amen.
And I've had absolutely no complications. So, you know, I don't know if I have to know who the person is or what, but having gone through it, and it's worse on the donor physically than it is on the person getting the transplant. She, the kidney worked immediately. She was great. I had.
Yeah, she probably felt better right away, I'm guessing. Did she feel better right away?
She did. Absolutely right away. She was up walking around that evening, but it took 8 weeks of rehabilitation for me. But so what? I'm fine now. I was fine after those 8 weeks. My only worry is I have one other child. What if something happened to him? Because we're not sure to this day what caused her kidney problem. So, you know, but.
Well, hey, thank you for the call.
Well, wait, I'm going to ask a quick question.
Yeah, please.
Sure.
Deborah, if I may, and you're welcome to tell me this is none of my business, and that's fine. You said she didn't take care of the kidney that you donated her. Is that correct?
Not as well as she should have, no. No.
She
was 16 when we did the transplant.
What was she supposed to do that she didn't do?
Watch her diet better than
diet.
She did. It's a real careful thing.
And medication, there's a ton of medication.
Yeah, medication. Medication was also a financial concern for a long time. It's very expensive afterwards. My donating was covered by her being covered. It's never a cost to the donor. But the thing of it is, before I did it, they put me through a million tests to make sure I could do it, to make sure I was a match. You know,
and just so you know, I've read more on the backstory of this man who died. He had a little bit of a heart issue, but they felt like he could still go through with the surgery. He also had a wacky blood vessel in that organ, and they still went ahead with the surgery. They thought it would be okay, and that's what happened. When they pulled the organ out, he bled out on the table. And so, you know, I think the family's just saying, and I agree with this, they should have been given the entire picture, and they don't feel like they were.
I don't know that it was up to them to have the whole picture. It was up to the donor. It takes away from his gift that somebody after him wants to make something else out of it. Yeah. He knew what the risks were. I knew what the risks were. I've had kids cesarean. I've had a hernia surgery. They tell you every time. It's a little simple thing, but you could die. I knew I could die. I didn't care. Not if she lived. And if somebody came along behind me and wanted to sue because they didn't think I made the right decision, I'd be mad at them. Not at the doctor, not at my daughter, not at myself. I did what I wanted to do.
See, and that's where I am on this lawsuit. This is why, and thank you, Deborah, for the call. This is why this lawsuit bothers me. And I don't know the family. I don't know all the circumstances. But just on the cursory knowledge that I have based on what you've shared, Dana, there's no allegation of impropriety. It's that there were mistakes made, apparently, or it wasn't as if They were like, hey, give us a kidney and you're going to die. And
right.
Sucks to be you.
They had never had this happen before at the hospital.
Right.
They had a 100% track record.
Yes. I mean, if there was clear evidence of negligence or malpractice or whatever, then fine. But this sounds like a family who sadly, sadly suffered a horrific familial tragedy. There's that word twice in 1 hour. I can't believe it. And they're looking for somebody to blame. Well, guess what? Sometimes the dice just don't roll in your favor.
And sadly, it's impossible to know what the donor knew. How much did he really know about the risk? The yeah. family is saying they were not adequately told that not only is this the risk to your husband, but
garbage.
Honestly, the recipient's probably not going to survive this. In fact, listen to this. The recipient, who also ended up dying, had two tumors in his liver, and one was large. It raised the chance of the cancer recurring, and it was big enough, this tumor, that he would not have had priority on the waiting list for a deceased donor.
Which
what does
is,
that tell you, Scott?
Which is why...
His cancer was advanced enough that if he had gone to...
They would have said...
The organ transplant place
and said... You're a lost
list,
cause.
They would have said, we will not give you
which
a
is,
deceased donor.
Which is why, Dana, I find this story very hard to believe that the doctors did not do their due diligence before we're going to bring you in. I mean, these doctors... Doctors are rich for a reason. They are extremely specialized, and most... are really, really good at what they do.
Yeah.
Okay? And they've received God knows how many hours of training in their field of expertise. I find it incredibly hard to believe that before they would do a liver transplant, a living donor liver transplant, that they didn't look at the recipient, the receiver of the half liver, if you will, and say, we just need, we're going to do... Looking at somebody's liver is not difficult. I've had mine looked at. And it takes a few minutes, and it's like when you're pregnant and they do the
sonogram.
Sonogram. And they do a sonogram on it, and they can tell you if your liver's in good condition or if it's not. They don't need to cut in and do a biopsy. They can look at it just through a sonogram because it's right here. Your liver is right here.
Right.
And... They can just, I've had mine
but
looked at.
You are at least uncomfortable with the notion that there could be a regulation of some kind saying we want a third-party advocate for the donor.
It's called a doctor.
Who's not if the doctor's working for the same system, it's not. You don't see that inherent
no.
Conflict of interest?
No. I don't think doctors saw on people. Most doctors don't saw on people just to cut them.
I would rather have an advocate that is not on the same payroll as everyone in the system that is in the business. It is a business. That's uncomfortable to say, but it is.
And the advocate
is in the business of transplant.
And the advocate is to say what? You could die if you go under anesthetic. Okay, I knew that. Thank you. They don't know. The advocate's not going to be a medical professional, certainly isn't going to be a physician, and isn't going to know, hey, you're running the risk of bleeding out because of medication you've taken or illnesses that you've had.
I think if you looked at this case from up here, okay, look up here and look down at this family and what they've gone through. Mm-hmm. Not only are they devastated because they lost this donor who was just trying to do something nice for his brother-in-law.
Agreed.
It didn't even matter, Scott. The recipient was dead within a year.
Right.
It didn't. So all of this has happened for what? For what?
Well, obviously for nothing.
For nothing.
But
I mean, really.
But whose fault is it? And you were the one who told the hospital, the doctors, I want to donate my liver. Okay. You know the risk, right? Yes, but this is my brother-in-law, and I love him dearly. I want to donate my liver. Okay. They provided the service that you requested, and it cost you your life, and that's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate.
The sisters-in-law, by the way, have not spoken since.
We are at Conrad's.
No shock there.
Conrad's Restaurant and Ale House in Liberty. Right off 291. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Caremark.
Happening now on KMBZ, current and former UMKC players are defending their softball coach. That's next.
He's been suspended, or he's taken a leave of absence. Tana right here for Mark's Family Dental. You have heard me bragging about Mark's Family Dental, and I want to remind you, if you are supposed to be using a CPAP machine, if you have a spouse that is supposed to be using a CPAP machine and they have stopped, call my folks at Mark's Family Dental. I get it. Those things are not pleasant for you or your partner. Mark's Family Dental has a simpler solution. They will make you a custom-made dental mouthpiece, fits over your teeth, gently realigns your airway, and allows normal airflow to the lungs as you sleep. And it's covered by most medical insurance plans. Add a better night's sleep to your list of New Year's resolution. If you have a very loud snorer next to you in bed, call my folks at Mark's Family Dental. They'll do a sleep study, get to the bottom of it, and then fit you for that dental appliance. Mark's Sleep Center, that's Mark's with an X, 816-452-2000, 816-452-2000, or markssleep.com, MARXsleep.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.